In 2004, a small group of Iraqi insurgents spent roughly $2,000 on explosives and materials to attack an oil pipeline. The result? $500 million in lost exports. This $250,000 to $1 return on investment isn't an anomaly. It's the blueprint for modern warfare. We've entered an era where the traditional rules of conflict have been rewritten, where small groups armed with commercial technology can challenge the world's most powerful militaries, and where the weapons of choice aren't tanks or fighter jets, but coordinated attacks on the infrastructure that keeps modern society running. This transformation didn't happen overnight. It emerged from the convergence of three powerful forces: exponentially advancing technology, the internet's connective power, and the erosion of nation-state monopolies on violence. What makes this shift so alarming is its accessibility. The tools of disruption are now available to anyone with motivation and an internet connection. Today's conflicts feature 75 to 100 small autonomous groups wielding everyday technology, smartphones, encrypted messaging, commercial drones, with devastating effect. Their decentralized structure enables decisions in hours versus weeks for traditional militaries. They've mastered systems disruption, targeting electricity grids and oil infrastructure to erode state legitimacy at minimal cost. The economics are staggering. A $2,000 pipeline attack yields million-to-one returns. A $200 PlayStation 2 contained enough processing power to guide missiles. Commercial drones become weapons with readily available components. 3D printers manufacture gun parts. Cryptocurrency enables anonymous cross-border funding. The same democratization that brought us smartphones has empowered those seeking maximum disruption with minimal resources. Moore's Law has accelerated this transformation beyond historical patterns. What took centuries, progressing from gunpowder to nuclear weapons, now happens annually. The internet amplifies everything exponentially. Commercial airplanes become weapons, cell networks detonate explosives, coordinated infrastructure attacks achieve unprecedented efficiency. Traditional military superiority no longer guarantees security when the most devastating weapons might be lines of code, and when your enemy could be anyone with modern technology and a grievance. The nation-state's 350-year dominance is crumbling. Globalization and the internet have eroded traditional control over borders, economies, information, and communications. Even powerful nations have become interdependent, making unilateral action costly. In this vacuum, non-state actors, terrorist organizations, crime syndicates, gangs, tribal networks, are claiming territories once controlled exclusively by sovereign governments. Contemporary insurgencies have transformed dramatically. Unlike 20th-century guerrilla movements seeking to replace governments, today's global guerrillas pursue a more radical agenda, systematically collapsing state structures to create ungoverned spaces where they exercise power through informal, feudal-style relationships. Osama bin Laden's relationship with the Taliban illustrated this perfectly, constructing global warfare capability while avoiding territorial administration burdens. Nuclear weapons and economic interdependence have made traditional state warfare obsolete. Modern guerrilla conflicts operate primarily in the moral domain. Without decisive battlefield engagements, victory depends on maintaining legitimacy, creating asymmetry where powerful states often lose moral authority by appearing as oppressive bullies. Al-Qaeda's September 11th attacks marked the first major implementation of this approach, exploiting globalization's technologies and transforming America's strengths into vulnerabilities. Their $250,000 investment created economic impacts of $80 to $500 billion, demonstrating how systems disruption could amplify small investments into catastrophic consequences. The Gulf War air campaign revealed how precision strikes could paralyze a nation-state. Just 500 sorties and 1,200 tons of smart bombs destroyed 80% of Iraq's oil capacity, collapsed the electrical grid by hitting 11 key nodes, disrupted 75% of telecommunications, and severed transportation by destroying 41 bridges. This effects-based operations approach disabled transformers and switching equipment rather than obliterating entire facilities. Disruption through precision, not mass destruction. Iraqi insurgents absorbed this lesson. Recognizing that power infrastructure symbolized coalition legitimacy, they coordinated attacks on transmission lines, towers, fuel supplies, and Western engineers. Despite billions in reconstruction aid, Baghdad received just 4 to 6 hours of daily electricity, a potent symbol of failure. They also weaponized globalization itself. Through hostage-taking, videotaped beheadings, and targeted assassinations, insurgents attacked contractors providing outsourced services, turning efficient corporate networks into strategic vulnerabilities. Many withdrew. Security costs skyrocketed. Their campaign against oil infrastructure kept production below 2 million barrels daily, despite $20 billion in investment. By 2007, over 600 attacks had cost Iraq an estimated $16 billion in lost revenue. The lesson? In our hyper-connected world, striking the right nodes creates cascading failures that amplify damage exponentially beyond the initial strike. Iraq's insurgency comprises at least 70 groups with no command structure. Al-Qaeda represents just 5%. This is open-source insurgency, modeled after software development where code is freely available for modification. Traditional organizations require strict control. Open-source projects thrive on community participation around a common promise. Open-source warfare begins with a plausible promise, an inspiring demonstration like 9/11 that shows what's possible. This promise connects members despite differing motivations: patriotism, hatred of occupation, ethnic bigotry, religious fervor, or tribal loyalty. The source code of conflict, tactics, weapons, strategies, becomes available for anyone to modify and improve. This structure operates like a bazaar, people trading, copying, and sharing in apparent chaos, especially compared to the cathedral-like Pentagon. It lacks a center of gravity that conventional militaries can target. The death of figures like al-Zarqawi demonstrates this. Eliminating leaders does little to stop modern insurgencies. Iraq's insurgent bazaar has developed a robust economy with global investment, outsourcing that incorporates financially motivated participants, and criminal enterprise generating black market revenue. This structure employs swarming, dispersed attacks from multiple directions that make defense particularly difficult. Global guerrillas now operate in dozens of countries, enabling unprecedented worldwide swarming against multinational targets, a first in warfare history. Future attacks are black swans, unexpected negative events that cannot be predicted. Unlike calculable risks, uncertainty deals with dark unknowns absent from historical data. In our interconnected world, these black swans spread rapidly, and centralizing security in the nation-state's hands offers minimal benefit. Centralized systems cannot match decentralized threats that develop below their sensory horizon, resorting to intrusive methods like warrantless surveillance that contradict our values and reduce domestic cohesion. Nation-states lack the instantaneous responsiveness, infinite resources, and godlike insight needed to counter black swan events. The solution is decentralized resilience through platform-based approaches fostering local innovation. During Hurricane Katrina and the Southeast Asian tsunami, online networks using blogs and wikis coordinated information sharing and aid, self-organized efforts providing crucial support alongside centralized responses. Western society's just-in-time consumption model creates dangerous vulnerability to systems disruption, failing when energy costs spike or supply chains face chaos. Rather than seeking national energy independence, we need local energy production, geothermal heating, solar electricity, energy-efficient appliances, electric vehicles, and solar-powered telecommunications. We cannot eliminate or fully defend against global guerrillas, natural disasters, and emerging threats. We must learn to live with them through resilience, ensuring survival when inevitable events occur. Building resilience into daily life allows organic responses to threats. Without this preparation, we face devastating effects of dynamic shocks on brittle systems. In a world where a few thousand dollars can cripple a nation, our survival depends not on building higher walls, but on creating systems flexible enough to bend without breaking.